Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 in 1 hour. His weekly visit at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' 31-29 win against the Cleveland Browns. So taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. By the way, our assistant producer, Adam Vingan, has sent this in. Tannehill has actually commented. This is from an article from The Escapist last month, which apparently is a magazine.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, me either. Tannehill said that, quote, of his future playing career, quote, "I think that chapter is closed. I think last year, that's where I was at. If the right opportunity came up and was right for our family, staying in shape, staying ready, I had plenty of calls, but nothing ever felt like the right opportunity that I was looking for. That was last NFL season. At this point, I think that ship has sailed for me." Tannehill went on to say, quote, "Nothing's ever set in stone. I'd have to start throwing again. I stay in shape just because I like staying in shape, and it's part of how I like to live my life. But as far as going out and having throwing sessions, I haven't done that since last year. It'd be a little bit of knocking some rust off to get the arm moving again." So
I don't know about that.
Looks
sounds
like
a long shot.
I think Tannehill has kind of closed the door on future NFL football. So we'll see what that looks like.
Yeah, I guess he had a good run.
I guess he did.
We'll see. Maybe we'll hear like an official prediction at some point.
Maybe so. Maybe we'll see some retirement papers filed at that point.
Did Ian have me muted? Did you have me muted, Ian?
I think so.
I don't think so.
I didn't. You guys didn't hear me?
No.
Maybe I did.
Okay. Yeah, I think you did. I didn't even know you could do that.
He might do it more often now. Who knows?
Maybe you should do it more often. Yeah, thanks to Adam, assistant to the regional executive producer, Adam, for the news flash. I don't know how we missed that Tannehill closed the door, man.
Probably because the interview was in The Escapist, which is something I've never heard of before. But good for them.
What is that?
I don't know. But that's where it was. It's a magazine, apparently.
The Escapist.
The Escapist. I mean, I like the name.
I'm gonna get the word out here. I'm gonna tell my church bulletin that I'm retiring, and I'm sure it'll get out there somewhere. But hey, it Vingan found it. So I mean, it got to Vingan.
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's kind of about video games.
Good to know. Big gamer Ryan Tannehill in there.
No wonder he threw those three picks. Now it all makes sense.
It all adds up. He went to the Kyler Murray School of Quarterbacking. A lot of video games going on out there. Joe, I mean, we have not run into as many Titans fans to this point that are upset about winning the game yesterday as maybe I thought. We went through the draft order. By the way, still plenty of time for the Titans to end up with two wins. And If they end up with two wins, they're going to have a decent chance. Although I will continue to say, Raiders are pretty bad, man. Raiders are bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I expect the Giants to beat the Raiders. Right?
I agree.
So who are the Raiders going to beat? But the thing is, they were right there yesterday.
I know.
Freaking Broncos needed a punt return to beat them. I mean, the Broncos have got to be the most fraudulent 11-2 now?
We're going to find out this week. We're going to find out. Packers, Broncos.
Not looking good for the Raiders here. At Philly.
Oh, boy.
At Houston.
Oh, boy.
Home against the Giants. Home against Kansas City.
So they're not going to win another game. Okay.
Well, I mean, I guess the only thing is, like, if Kansas City – is it possible Kansas City's out of it at that point? And, like –
everybody
sits.
Mahomes
isn't playing. Short of that, yeah.
What, is Kansas City just going to pull a Notre Dame if they're out of the playoffs, just not show up anymore? We'll get into that in a little bit, too.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know. Yeah, you're probably looking at Oakland Raiders' number one pick. So good job, Tom Brady. You're a
Las
genius
Vegas
all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying. The World Raiders.
Yes.
L.A. Raiders. Yes, sure.
Maybe Brady's plan the whole time. Who knows?
That's right. Just tank away, baby.
Yeah. What did you make of the Titans defensively yesterday? You mentioned Jeffrey Simmons, a sack and a half in the game. He was very good in the game. Couple of key turnovers. We mentioned the Woods interception. They also forced a fumble from Dylan Sampson as well, a former Vol. So a couple of turnovers created for the Titans yesterday. They did give up 29 points. They did give up 364 yards passing. But overall, what did you make of the defense for the Titans yesterday?
Yeah, Simmons is great. Ward, you know, is disruptive. He makes some plays. Key's out there, you know, doing some stuff here and there. I really like Cedric Gray. Like, I think Cedric Gray is at times we talk about, like, who, you know, what's the core moving forward and all that. There's no question he's part of it, you know. I like him. I mean, they're bad in the back end, you know. So, right now they're just bad in the back end. You hope that at least at safety, you know, moving forward, you just signed Hooker to this deal, that you're going to be fine, and it's just a matter of addressing corner. But certainly yesterday was a good example of where they're deficient in the back end. But hung in there and still, you know, made some plays, obviously. And Simmons, how far is he from his – someone said he was a sack away from his career high. I mean, he's going to get that for sure, I would think.
I would assume so. Let me go look and double-check that that's how far away he is. But if that is
very
the case,
close.
He is – yeah, he's at 8 sacks right now, and his career high
is actually
8.5. So he's a half sack away. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a sack away from establishing a new one. He's terrific. Sweat, you know, in pursuit at times, like, it is amazing sometimes watching him move. Like, how does he move that well? But then also at times it's like, yeah, like, you just can't, like, you can't play at that size. You know?
He did absolutely crush Shadur one time. And
yes.
He, like, landed on top of him, and I was like, well, they're for sure going to throw a flag on that, for, you know, the landing on the quarterback. But they didn't. I was stunned.
Yeah, especially with him. That should be like a 30-yard penalty.
Yeah, know? I mean, almost put you into the earth if you do that. It's like, but, wow, Shadur Sanders fell down to the, you know, the middle crust of the earth there.
Wow, is it hot down there? What's it? Yeah, but, you know, it's again, Denard Wilson, as we've discussed, he's done pretty good stuff with that group, considering all the limitations, all the personnel issues, and people getting traded and people getting hurt and all that stuff. But you also did just give up like a boatload of yards to Shadur Sanders in an offense that usually does nothing.
Yeah, I mean, good news is they did not run the ball on the Titans. They did not run the ball on the Titans yesterday. 20 carries for 61 yards. That's 3.1 a carry for the Browns yesterday. Leading rusher was Shadur. So, I mean, Judkins didn't do anything on the ground. He had 14 carries for 26 yards. Sampson, 2 carries for 4 yards. I mean, Judkins' biggest play was a pass. It was a 58-yard play that he had. So, I mean, you know, an extension of the running game there. But actually stopping the run, Titans did a pretty good job of that yesterday.
Yeah, and so, again, it's like I thought they'd if there was any chance of this team being decent this year, it would start on offense with running the ball, which they haven't done all year, but they did yesterday. And then if the defense was going to be good this year, it would start with Simmons and Sweat and that front not letting teams run the ball and at least making teams one-dimensional, maybe helping what was on paper an anemic pass rush, and that happened yesterday too, you know? It was like the team that maybe we thought they could be going into the season, we saw a glimpse of it kind of out of nowhere yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. Now, how sustainable is it? That's the other thing. Now, some of this is you played Cleveland, and as we know, I mean, the Titans have got a couple of dates coming up on the schedule that may not go very well for them. You got the Niners on the road coming up. You got Kansas City, even though Kansas City is not as daunting as they once were, seemingly. The Saints, I mean, look, the Saints went down to Tampa Bay and won the game yesterday.
Yes,
so there's
that.
And then you got Jacksonville to close things out, which, I mean, Jacksonville, with the way that Houston's playing right now, Jacksonville very well could have something to play for there. So you know, I'm not going to pretend like I think the Titans are about to go on some run here. But that's what makes yesterday so mystifying, Joe, is they did a lot of things yesterday that they've just not approached doing all year long. And it's like, well, where did that come from at this point of the year on December the 7th?
Yeah, and not a lot of it is going to – well, especially you know, offensively. I mean, like next year they have to – I'm not saying use a high pick, but they need to one way or the other, free agency or draft, they need to upgrade at running back.
Yes.
You know, I hate to say that after Pollard had his career day, but that's the balance of the season tells us that. So, I mean, I just think that was kind of a – just kind of a one of those random days in December when bad teams meet. But you know, some of those guys on defense are going to matter. Again, I like Cedric Gray and things like that. So, so they have some things to build on for this game, but look, there again, it's them winning a game. I don't necessarily subscribe to this idea of like learning how to win, you know? I mean, all these people played previously at different, you know, levels and probably won a lot in college for the most part and things like that. You know, it's learning how to win. I mean, good for them to win, to get the feeling because they're just, the vibes just can't be good when it's week after week after week and you never get rewarded. I also don't feel like this win or another win after this is going to make that much of a difference moving forward if they don't get way better.
Yep.
And if they get way better, they could have gone 1-16 this year and still won in the future because they have better players. So I don't know. Kaharski's a big subscriber to this idea. I don't know how much stock I really put into it, but I know like for them now it's got to be a great feeling. I mean, Mike McCoy, man, I just saw it again. They just showed another little segment on SportsCenter of his speech. I mean,
yes.
Man, they were pumped, man. They were pumped up in that locker room.
Good Lord, don't interview him for the job still, please.
I'm
glad he got his win.
Considered, right?
I'm glad he got his win. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The college football playoff has been set. We will react to that coming up next. Take your thoughts on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' win yesterday against the Browns. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, the college football playoff bracket has been set. The top four seeds, Indiana at number one, after they take down Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. Cignetti just getting it done out there. Ohio State, number two. Georgia, three. Texas Tech, number four. Those are your four teams that will have the bye in the first round. Oregon at five. They'll take on James Madison, where they are a three-touchdown favorite in the tournament that decides the national champion. And we've decided we're okay with that. That's the 5-12 matchup. Ole Miss and Tulane, a game we've seen already, is the 6-11 matchup, which Ole Miss won that game by, I believe, 25 points. And then A&M and Miami, the 7-10, Alabama-Oklahoma in the rematch in the 8-9. So we got two rematches in the first round, Joe. We have no Notre Dame in the playoff after they were ranked ahead of Miami the entire time in the TV show. And then Miami ends up jumping them at the end. Alabama gets thumped in the SEC title game by Georgia, and it basically doesn't cost them at all when it comes to the college football playoff final ranking. So, Joe, with all that being said, what do you make of how the bracket landed, and what's kind of a couple of your biggest takeaways from it?
And then BYU gets thumped by Texas Tech, and it does cost them. So
exactly.
Yeah. I'd say, first of all, this committee and not necessarily the field – because I think that they got it right with Notre Dame Miami, but the way that this all came about, it's the worst committee we've had. It's the worst committee in terms of, you know, the explanations. Again, I think Juracek had an amazing one yesterday. I'll find it, but again, it's like every week they'll say something and then they will, you know, and then they'll just directly contradict it 5 seconds later. You know, I mean, all the stuff with Vanderbilt, you know, it's like, I mean, you know, losing a or winning a close game against you know, against Auburn. I mean, that's, you know, and then it's like Alabama, the gutty win of a rivalry game against a really a tough, I mean, that's a tough Auburn team, you know. Yeah. It's like, yeah, if it's a team that's something good happened to them, then you will say the opposite things about you know, the team that you just ripped, or vice versa. Yeah, so yesterday Juracek is like, so he's talking about Bama and why they didn't move, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, they just stay there. They get crushed. And again, I didn't think Bama should have been bounced out of the field, but it seems like, you know, a spot might have been. I mean, like, even last year, SMU still got in, but they dropped two spots from that loss to Clemson ACC title game. So he says, you know, he mentions with Bama, you know, they beat Georgia. That's arguably – which is true. You know, the win at Georgia, I mean, that's just one of those things that's like, who had a better win than that this year as we look at it right now, right? I mean, that happened, and it has to count. But then he says, quote, they also had a win against Vanderbilt and then a previous win at Missouri and Tennessee, both of whom had been ranked in our top 25 at various points this year, end quote. So, again, last week – he's like, Vanderbilt, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Tennessee's not a top 25 win. Like, you know, and now he's like, well, at points this year, if you're going to do the at points this year, then Vanderbilt's your 5 seed, you freaking idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, it's so bad. So the way we got to this is infuriating. And Juracek, and look, I understand he's put in a bad spot here, okay, to try to explain what, again, is. The process is individual votes. It is not. I mean, again, I don't know what they do behind closed doors. Maybe, you know, maybe they completely trash that and they actually sit there and say, ESPN, let us know what we should do. But again, let me tell you something. Last year, SMU over Alabama. This year, Notre Dame's not in the field. Like, the money's already paid, okay? So, like, I think we should give these people credit for, you know, terrible explanations. Terrible process. You can rip their decisions. Like, I understand people want to go to, oh, it's just the money. The money's paid, guys. And, like, I mean, look at what they just did. You just mentioned those games. And yes, I will continue to believe that the group of five should get one team in every year. Of course, they got two this year because the ACC is such a joke. But look at those games. I mean, even flip-flop the 12 and 11 so we don't get a rematch, like you said, of Tulane and Ole Miss. They've done nothing to give themselves ratings or money with this field. So, I mean, if we think there's a conspiracy and it's corruption, my God, are they bad at conspiracies and being corrupt. They are terrible at it.
Well, a few things on all that. So, number one, I'm glad Miami's in and Notre Dame's not. You know, we talked about that last week. Now, the process in which they went about to get to that point, to me, is a huge problem here. And it's something that I don't think is going to change but needs to. And I know it's not going to, so I don't know how much time I really want to spend talking about it. The TV show part of this is just a huge issue. It is. And, you know, it's set in stone, and it's what it's going to be, and they're going to do it because people watch it and they talk about it. And we spend, you know, time every week talking about the college football playoff rankings after they're unveiled. So I guess we're part of the problem. But the bottom line is none of it really matters until yesterday. So, frankly, like, the more I look at it, you could save yourself a lot of egg on your face by not having to come out with these goofy explanations every week. If you just didn't do this stupid TV show and you just came out with a ranking at the end, you'd save yourself a lot of embarrassment, I think, if it went that way. Now, having said all that, it ain't going to go that way, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about it. I think they got Miami over Notre Dame right. I think the – you know, the head-to-head has to matter at some point. This explanation that they've concocted here, where they're just, I guess, are not allowed to directly compare the two until they're right next to each other in the rankings, has always just been stupid. Like, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. They finally
got it. Well,
it's
not true either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, it's just dumb. So, I have no problem with Miami getting in over Notre Dame. Just don't sit there and act like for the last 5 weeks that Notre Dame was ever going to get in over Miami, because it wasn't going to happen. Like, it's just dumb. So that's the one thing. Number two, as you mentioned, the ACC has really screwed this whole thing up. And, yes, it's a combination of a couple things. It's number one, they don't have very many teams that are any good. And number two, if you go and look at their tiebreakers and how they determine who gets in their conference championship, it's one of the dumbest things out there. Like, they just totally screwed this up with their with the way that they wrote down their tiebreakers. You know, I don't like the Group of Five stuff. We've talked about that. But at least in the Group of Five, like in the American Conference, one of their tiebreakers pretty quickly on the list is, where are you ranked in the college football playoff rankings? And that helps you determine the tiebreaker. And the fact that Duke, all respect to Duke, by the way, good game between Duke and Virginia, but the fact that the 7-5 Duke team were in the ACC title game is just ridiculous. And the ACC, from that standpoint, has screwed all this up.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, that needs to change. Now, this just flashed on ESPN, but I know we'll talk about Notre Dame ahead here, but next year, by the rules that kick in next year, if the rules of next year were in place now, Duke would have had to be in as ACC champ, and also Notre Dame would have had to have been in with a top 12 ranking, so get ready for that. But, yeah, look, I don't disagree on the TV show. It's contractual. When it comes down to it, this is where, again, the idea that ESPN is telling, you know, again, these administrators or like these former coaches who, like, I covered Mark D'Antonio. The guy's a millionaire many times over. If some ESPN geek comes in and says, hey, can we make sure we get this team in? He'd probably stuff them in a trash can. Like, they're not doing that. But where I will agree on ESPN and you know, money, you know, making something bad that should be better, is that we have the show, and we're going to have the show. So I wrote this yesterday, like, let's just have, instead, like, CFP spans, like C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Just put it on ESPN News, and then let's watch. I'm probably not going to watch much of it. Somebody will, and then we can actually hear what they say. Seriously. Like, let's hear your discussions. Let's hear your deliberations. Because I will disagree with you on one thing that you just said, Robbie. You said they were never going to get in. I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, I agree that if we had gotten to the end and it's just Miami over Notre Dame, yeah, they beat them head-to-head, okay, that makes sense. I don't know. I don't necessarily agree that it was always going to work out this way. And, in fact, if you want to get into conspiracy theories, I do believe that if Virginia – and remember, these people vote individually. But if Virginia would have beaten Duke to get the ACC a team – I think one or two of those committee members might have been like, okay, there's an ACC team, so we don't have to, like, worry about completely screwing over the league. Notre Dame stays in. I tweeted that Saturday night. If Virginia loses, you watch. Miami's in tomorrow. That's how it worked out. But, you know, it is a mess. They're going to keep having the show. To me, they need to show us their math. They need to show us their formulas. They don't even tell us, like, what the strength of schedule is that they go by. I mean, that's stupid. You have to be way more transparent than this.
Well, and frankly, I don't know why we can't have a system where we just go rank teams 1 through 12 and go. Like, I don't know why we can't do this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The college football playoff bracket is set. A lot of your reaction to get to. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall today, prior to the Monday Night Football game. Tonight's matchup is the Eagles taking on the Chargers. Also, Mondays, made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, all the football action from queso to kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up here in just a few minutes. We got Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and their win against the Cleveland Browns. The college football playoff bracket is set. A lot of your reaction to get to on that front. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. One texter says, the committee got everything right except for two Group of Five teams having to be in there. Why are people so mad about Vandy? They're three spots away. Notre Dame, Texas, and then Vandy. By the way, throw BYU in there as well.
Well, Vanderbilt had a case. You know, Vanderbilt, look, the outrage, obviously, in the immediate aftermath of this thing is for Notre Dame fans. Like, you know, Redemption on the YouTube chat saying, you know, it wouldn't be so bad if they weren't, you know, ranked ahead of Miami all those weeks. Then again, it's so dumb because earlier, whether it was Juracek or Rhodes, I don't remember, but talked about just, you know, being in the same grouping. If they're in the same grouping, they can be compared, right? And they had already gotten to the same grouping, but now they have to be touching each other.
It's just so dumb.
Yeah, and that's not written. That's not a written guideline. So they're just kind of, you know, the way they did this is terrible. But look, Vanderbilt had a case for sure. I mean, when you go by some metric, strength of record, strength of schedule, they are better than these teams that were ahead of them. They did not have the great win. Now, I still think that the blowout win at Tennessee should have helped them, and it hurt them. You know, but really, it's just that the committee didn't think they were good enough, so they put them where they did, and then they made sure that that was used against them, whereas they'll use the exact same data points for a team that they think is better. I mean, it's a very stupid way to go about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, again, like I said, yeah, I understand that this year, I guess, is the because of what's gone on in the ACC, it's just the way it worked out this year. But it's just an absolute joke that Tulane and James Madison are both in the college football playoff. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just a total travesty. We got a college football playoff game that decides the national championship where there's a team that's a 3-touchdown favorite at home.
Yeah. I mean, again, on the whole decide the national championship, you want to make tournaments big. And Herb Street's sitting there, oh, we got to get to 16. I hear people say, well, we got to get to 24. Well, once you get this big, you're going to have teams in here that can't win the national championship. Again,
oh, I agree.
Basketball. Yeah. But I agree that – so if Miami – you know, if Miami is able to play in the ACC championship game and then they're going to win, they're going to get that spot, and now you have an extra spot for a good team to be in this thing, and then it – you know, there's still going to be teams who got left out who feel jilted, right? And Vanderbilt probably still would have been left out. Would have been Notre Dame that would have been in.
Yeah.
But at least then you'd have better games, you'd have a better tournament. So, yeah, like does it need to just be – but, you know, then you get into – I mean, there's always unintended consequences with whatever you want to do. So, if I don't disagree with you on the whole, you know, the Group of Five does the playoff ranking, that should be of utmost importance to them. If you're like the ACC and you make it like that, then, you know, you'll have a team who, you know, out of nowhere, maybe they're not good. They lose a couple non-league games, but they go 7-1 in the league, and they're right. But that 6-2 team is in the title game over them because they have a higher playoff. Then they'll be screaming. I mean, the biggest issue with all this, I mean, the committee is a big issue, but. And how they do it. But the biggest issue with all of this that's caused so many problems is these leagues that have gotten out of control big to where it's really just like I think I heard Reese Davis say this yesterday. I totally agree. It's like they're really just more like an association, a scheduling association, you know? Like you can't have a league this big and pretend that league standings or any of that stuff could possibly matter anymore. It just doesn't make sense to have leagues this big. It screws everything up.
It screws everything up, and Now we're getting into a part of this from the conference championship game standpoint where some of the results matter and some of them don't. And look, I'm not necessarily saying that Alabama absolutely should have been kicked out of the playoff. They did get absolutely destroyed, if you watch that game, by Georgia, and they've been playing very poorly the last couple of weeks here. So, like, I do think it probably should have been a discussion. Like, I mean, they got smoked on Saturday by Georgia. But, again, that's neither here nor there. But the problem is, like, the conference championship games aren't held to the same standard. You mentioned it last year. Like, SMU, they lost in the conference championship game. They moved down a couple of spots. Alabama doesn't move at all. Well, BYU does move. Now, I know BYU's gotten smoked twice by Texas Tech, and they don't have wins that Alabama has to fall back on. But the whole thing here, like, the conference championship, as we talked about last week, was a really cool thing under the old system. And in today's system in college football, with the playoff being what it is, and now that you've expanded it, it gets in the way more than it does anything else. Like, it's just they need to get rid of all of them.
Yeah, like an Indiana fan today will be like, to hell with that. We just had one of the greatest nights ever, beating Ohio State, winning our first Big Ten championship in 50 years, first outright Big Ten championship in 80 years, 1945. So if you randomly you get a game like that, that's great. But like, you know, even like Georgia, Alabama. I'm sure Georgia fans are excited too. And obviously for Kirby, it's good to finally beat Alabama. But yes, they are a problem for sure. One thing that drives me crazy, and look, media members ask this every single week, I swear. There was at least one question to this effect. The answer changes, but it's I hate the idea. There is no world can you say that the loser of a conference championship game should have no consequences. That's absolutely asinine. How could you – is this a game? Yes. Is there a winner and a loser? Yes. Does the winner get a reward? If the winner gets a reward for a conference championship game, how could you possibly say that there could never be a consequence right. for the loser? I mean, so what you're saying is you have – most games you have a winner or loser. In this game, you have a winner and – a happy friend of the winner who helped the winner win.
Yeah.
And then we all get a – no, I'm sorry, but if you play a game there – but every week it's like people ask about like no consequence. And even, you know, listen, I understand these coaches all have to make their case, but Kalen DeBoer after the game is like, well, they set the precedent last year. Again, Kalen, that the SMU dropped two spots. They still got in over Alabama, and I think that was the right decision. But they did drop two spots. There was a consequence of some sort for losing the game to Clemson. So there's no precedent, man. I heard Greg McElroy say that yesterday, too. We're sitting here watching other teams fall because they lost in their conference title game. I hate that. It should never be even asked again, you know. But it is also weird that Alabama doesn't even drop a spot. And that's where you get into, I guess they felt like they just had to have Notre Dame and Miami next to each other to do what they did. It's talking through what they must think or how things turned out or how they explain it is it can really drive you batty.
So, I mean, I guess definitely in the first round, A&M Miami is the best game, right? I mean, you got Oregon that's going to beat James Madison by 45. You have a rematch of Alabama and Oklahoma, which, I mean, look, could be a good game. We'll see what that looks like, but – I mean, Alabama's not playing all that great. Oklahoma's offense is kind of a sore spot right now, so we see that. You have Ole Miss, who's going to beat Tulane by 40. And then you have Miami, Texas A&M. It's kind of a terrible first round, but I guess Miami, Texas A&M is the best of the bunch.
Yeah, and last year's was a much more appealing first round for sure. I remember last year, like all of them looked, you know, good to very good. Yeah, I mean, and if you look at the scheduling, by the way, because they can't escape, the NFL doesn't care about the college football playoffs, so they've got Saturday games on the 20th, and so the playoff people put the two games that are probably going to be blowouts, the group of five teams, against the NFL. So they're isolating the other games for when there's not NFL games on. Yes, Texas A&M, Miami, I'm definitely excited about that game. That should be really interesting. Alabama, Oklahoma, I mean, If Oklahoma beats Alabama again, you talk about Brent Venables just completely owning Kalen DeBoer. Because remember, that's why Oklahoma didn't get in last year. And that was a terrible Oklahoma team they lost to last year at the end of the year. It was kind of out of nowhere. Then they lose this one at home. I can't stand watching Oklahoma. I would rather see Alabama win and start playing well again because I still think they have the potential to be a good team. But I don't know, that could be like a 13-9 game or something.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And again, like I still contend, I said it last year and I say it again now, even though I do think it's a different situation than it was last year. But the 5 seed in this playoff is a pretty sweet spot to be, man. Like you get the absolute bum at number 12 that you get to play at home. And then you get the lowest ranked of the 4 teams that get the bye. Now, look, Texas Tech's good. We're going to find out how good. I don't know how good they are. We're going to find out pretty quickly when they play Oregon. But the 5 seed, which I believe was occupied by Penn State last year when they got Boise State and SMU, 5 seed's a pretty good spot to be in this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Oregon might say, well, we'll take a bye, but still. Because, you know, you can still get people hurt or whatever. But, yeah, no doubt. And that might be – obviously, as we get deeper into the tournament, we have the potential. I mean, I would not be mad about an Indiana-Ohio State rematch. We have the potential for Ohio State-Georgia in a 2-3 game. But Oregon-Texas Tech, that might be the game I'm most excited about just in terms of that Oregon offense – you know, can be very explosive. Dante Moore, very good player. And then to see that Texas Tech defense, I just really want to see Texas Tech against some of these top teams from other leagues to see if they're as good as I think they are on defense.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rob Rant coming up next. We'll continue the discussion on the college football playoff and address Notre Dame's response to being left out of the college football playoff. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I go to Starbucks. I go to Starbucks. I get a venti.
For me, that's a very fulfilling moment.
Let's go win some football games. Come on.
I want to know where to go.
Well, I don't get a rain man cold.
I was in serious pain last night, but my God, that beef rib, holy cow.
You got the gout, man. It's just there.
I want to go. Give me the go. I want to go.
I married my cousin last year.
Borderline erotic.
This is all bullcrap, is what this is. It is time for the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe, we've been having a nice discussion about the college football playoff bracket. Notre Dame left out of the playoff, which has generated a ton of response, including a response from Notre Dame yesterday, who released the following statement in the aftermath of the college football playoff selection committee making their decision. Quote, "As a team, we've decided to withdraw our name for consideration for a bowl game following the 2025 season. We appreciate all the support from our families and fans, and we're hoping to bring the 12th national title to South Bend in 2026, signed the 2025 Notre Dame football team. So Notre Dame has opted out of a bowl game. They will not be participating. They're not going to do any of the practices, and they're basically taking their ball and heading home at the end of all this here. And, Joe, I approach this from a couple of different things. Number one, if you ever needed confirmation that the college football playoff is all that matters anymore in the sport, well, here it is. You know, and, you know, there's some other teams opting out, too, like Iowa State's opting out, Kansas State's opting out. I mean, I guess at least you could make the argument for them that they're having coaching changes. So, I don't know. You can make whatever argument you want to make there. I do have sympathy from Notre Dame from the standpoint of, like, they obviously feel like they were jobbed, and I think you can make a legitimate argument that maybe they were screwed by the College Football Playoff Committee. Again, I mean, James Madison's in the playoff, so you can definitely make that argument. However, I do think the response here of just opting out of the bowl game is really petty, and frankly, it pisses me off. Like, as somebody who loves college football, the fact that this is where we've now gotten to where, well, we didn't make the playoffs, so we're just going to take our ball, go home, and not play in the bowl game is ridiculous to me. I know that they've played this off as if, like, the whole team voted to not play or something like that. Joe, you can't tell me that there aren't some seniors on that team, just like there are on every team, that are not going to go on to have long careers in the NFL, in many cases will not go on to be in the NFL at all, who just basically got told yesterday that they have already played their last football game ever. You can't tell me that everybody on the team was on board for that. I'm sorry. You just can't do it. So the fact that this is the response by Notre Dame, I've got some sympathy that they think that they were screwed, and that's fine, and we can have that discussion. But to just not play in the bowl game, I think it's such a loser thing to do for that football program. And frankly, it's to the point where it's like, oh, you don't want to play in the postseason? That's fine. You're eliminated from college football playoff discussion next year. Screw you, Notre Dame.
Oh, man, I love that one. Let's do that. I vote for that. If there's a vote for that one, I vote for it. It's so weak. There's a great the Play Like a Champion Today sign. There's a great, you know, someone made it to take your ball and go home today. Yeah. You know, player hitting it on the way on the field. It's weak, and I agree with you. You know, I understand Predemption's an Irish fan. He says, you know, players chose this.
There's no way every one of the players chose this.
No, I mean, look, I'm going to go to what Clark Lee said, because he was asked about this yesterday, about declining a bid. His quote was, quote, "We love playing football here," end quote. By the way, Clark Lee also, you know, good for him. I mean, look, Vanderbilt did all they could to make the case. And then Clark Lee said yesterday, quote, "It's no one's fault except our own. We had our opportunities. We didn't do enough. We're not victims in this process. Our ownership is coming up short," end quote. You know, it's, I mean, that's good for him because ultimately, you know, you did. You had chances against Texas and Alabama. You didn't win those games. You needed to win one of them. But to Notre Dame, I'm with you. There's no way all the players wanted this. Like, think about all you go through to play just a little bit of football. And this is kind of Kaharsky's argument when it comes to, like, the Titans and winning games and caring about games still. You know, you have 17 days out of 365 where there's going to be a football game. It's the same thing with these guys. You get 12 games in a year, and you're just going to forfeit that. I understand that you should feel jilted and upset and all that stuff. You know, these other teams are playing their bowl games. I mean, also, if you're Notre Dame, you know, I do actually, Robbie, distinguish between this and, like, the Kansas State situation. You know, a guy retires. Yep. I mean, like, there's different situations. This team is bringing its coach back, bringing a ton of really good players back.
Quarterback.
Should be a contender next year. And by the way, you don't want the 15 free practices you get?
Exactly.
That come with playing in a bowl game? Why would you forfeit those? That's where you get young guys chances to do your reps with the ones. You get reps doing your offense and your defense instead of scout team stuff.
Yeah, nobody's saying that Jeremiah Love's got to go play in the bowl game. We see players opt out of it all the time. But to just have everybody opt out is just so bad.
It's weak. And look, is it a death knell of sorts? I mean, I know some people are looking at it that way when it comes to the bowl games. I mean, I still think the bowl games are going to continue to exist. And, I mean, look, some of them are – I think we've got a 5-7 against a 5-7 conference rivals that just played it, like, less than a month ago in the Birmingham Bowl. So, what was it, App State and Georgia Southern? Is that what it is? I think that's what it is. So, I mean, like – some of them are going to be at times maybe scrounging, but they're going to continue to exist. People still watch them. It's TV inventory that that still does well during the holidays, right? Like, you put a bowl game on. What bowl game's on right now? So they're going to continue to exist. I do think this is another example of, like, when the playoff becomes everything, I think it's harder and harder probably to get, you know, to get fans excited to go travel to a place and to make a deal out of a bowl game the way, not that long ago, they used to do.
Well, and you know what else? Like, I know you're Notre Dame, and you've kind of marched to the beat of your own drum throughout history. Join a conference. It's 2025. We're in a new era of college football. It's the college football playoff part of this, and you just get to march around because you don't have a conference. Well, you know what? Sometimes there's consequences to that, and this is one of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you could make that case, or I might make the case, like, everybody just become an independent. But yeah, I mean, no doubt. And again, next year, Notre Dame could not happen, this exact scenario, if they were ranked. Now, if this happened next year, then maybe they just drop them another spot and they still don't get in. You know, but if they're in the top 12, that they have to get in. Yeah, look, I think it's incredibly weak and short-sighted, and it just feels like a knee-jerk reaction to this without thinking things through. I think you're better off, doing this. You know, Prudential said they're not happening, and NBC gives them that money. Well, I get it. Obviously, that's why they've stayed independent, right? I mean, they don't have to share with anybody, and so what they get from their NBC contract is more than sharing if they were in one of these leagues. But
be prepared to deal with the consequences of it.
Exactly. Another thing on this, by the way, is another thing people are freaking out about is this whole, no one's going to schedule a game, all that stuff. Well, let me tell you something. Good thing for Miami that you scheduled Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Because you sure as hell would not be in this thing with your ACC schedule. So, you know, keep that in mind, too. These big non-league games, if the SEC thinks they're going to do away with them, man, it's to me, it's a bad, bad idea. Because if you're just saying, well, we're in the SEC, it's great, and you don't ever beat anybody else, well, then are you sure it's great? Because a lot of the rest of the country would like to believe that you're overrated.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. Titans get the win against the Browns. We'll get his thoughts on that. We'll get his thoughts on the way the college football playoff shook out, all that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.